We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Jesse, are you ready for rapid fire?
Let's do this.
Okay, now there are few questions that I have starred up that I'm going to flip in here that we're going to lead things off with here tonight. Brent, who believes Riley Leonard will be 100% healthy come summer and fall? Do you believe that he will, Jess?
I do believe that he will, but I can't say that, you know, maybe something in practice or maybe in the first game he might tweak it. You know, I think that in terms of being ready for the first game, sure, but I still think that there is a high – he's just got a higher opportunity to tweak it in some way, right? Like when you've heard something, it is obviously compromised. And so I think there is a higher rate of re-aggravating it, but I think he'll be fine. You know, once the start of the season comes, it was very reaffirming to see him out there with that foot brace that he had on. Cause he easily could have.
Did you like the fact that he was there though yesterday? Vince and I were both, I would safe to say, I don't know about vehemently, but we were pretty opposed to him being out there as early as he is already, you know, after having that surgery just a couple of weeks ago.
No, I don't mind it because it shows that I think it takes away from the severity or maybe the panic a little bit of, you know, hey, this is the second kind of, you know, thing that's come up with his ankle since getting to Notre Dame. And so for me, it kind of simmers that a little bit. I think him getting out there is good. It's like good PR. It's like, hey, he's got a brace on, he's rehabbing, he's getting it stronger. It's not as a big deal as, you know, maybe what it's made out to be.
It's good PR, but if he trips in the turf or someone accidentally trips over him or he accidentally trips over somebody else, that's not going to do anybody any good after having a plate replaced in his
foot. But again, I still think that shows the confidence that he's good. Yeah. Like they're not doubtful or they're not like weary of something like that happening. At least me, I guess I'm more glass half full in this situation. You guys are glass, you know,
half empty.
Half empty.
I think he'll definitely be fine by the summer as long as he doesn't do, you know, and they don't do something stupid and try to push him too much, you know, any more this spring. It's one thing. because he wasn't doing everything that everybody else was doing, and he wasn't wearing pads. You know, he did have on his red jersey and his pants, and he had on a different kind of shoe than everybody else. Even he was just, you know, throwing some passes and stuff out there. But to me, it still seems a little bit early. I think he'll be fine for the summer and for training camp, but it's still like this is the plant leg, and you've got a history in that entire lower part of the leg and into the foot now. You know, so I'm not like as much as I, you know, obviously want him to be able to stay healthy. It is football, and all it takes is one little thing. And every time the guy gets tackled, I think everybody's going to be wincing a little bit, wondering, is he going to get up? Yeah. And as soon as you see him limp a little bit, like remember when Sam Hartman limped a little bit and everybody thought, oh, he had an injury there when that happened, and, you know, whatever else. It's like, it's football, but when you start off with that kind of injury that he's already had, it's just, man, I think that there's reason for concern.
I want to sneak in my own little side question here before we get into this this first segmented rapid fire question. Did you see the Max Bolla video of him going through those drills with the linebackers?
I did.
Have you seen him do that live at practice? Is he that intense all the time? I loved it. That guy is basically out there practicing as a linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've got to see the full Max Bolla when we've been there so far. Maybe at the first practice they saw more of that I wasn't at, but I think we get another full practice here coming up like a week from Saturday or something like
that. Get there early for some individual drills.
Yeah, did you like that chest pad?
Yeah, that's my favorite one where they were absorbing the hits. Yeah, no, but for real though, the reason why I like that so much is as a player, like you have more trust in what you're like. If your coach can give you a rep like that, you know what I mean? Like that's such a game, like a much closer game rep, and that intensity. Like you just know he's like out there for you. He wants you to get better, and so to give that rep and to have that intensity constantly. I'm just fired up for how these linebackers are going to play this season.
I mean, when you think about it, it's a very physically fit staff, right?
Yeah. I was like, he looks like he could still be out there.
Yes, he does. I mean, and he was just in the NFL not that long ago. And, you know, like there are no Mike McCarthys on this staff. Let's put it that way. Right? I mean, I have full confidence that they could go out there and run some gassers if they needed to.
You know what's my favorite part of that video, though, is KVA being such a freshman. And bringing that water bottle to them as they're switching drills. Like that is a brownie points move if I've ever seen one. Hey coach, I know you must be tired going through those drills with us. Here's a little water bottle as we, yeah, as we run off. I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's right. I thought it was as well. Good stuff. Okay. Now the moment Salty's been waiting for. Jaden Greathouse.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Got to talk to him yesterday as well. And of course, hot topic of conversation, or at least a topic that came up anyway, the impact of his new wide receivers coach, Mike Brown. So have a listen. The great one, Jaden Greathouse.
Playing fast, just not thinking too much when I'm out there on the field. You know, we have a lot of things to think about as wide receivers, whether people believe it or not. But
it's not just go catch the ball.
Yeah, definitely. So we definitely can get caught up in thinking too much sometimes, and that kind of plays, forces us to like slow down our play. But just as long as we're playing fast, all the other things will come because we know what we're trying to do. So as long as we're playing fast, everything will come. The technique will be good, and we'll be able to dominate.
So what's the most important thing you heard there from the great one, Jaden Greathouse?
Yeah, playing fast. And I think that, you know, playing fast, and to me, he was kind of hinting at something. And I'll say what I thought he was hinting at. You know,
okay.
When you have a previous coach, and obviously the relationships with everyone in that room weren't great with said coach, there's always the thought process of, if I'm out here not doing what I'm supposed to do for a coach that already doesn't like me, there's already the pressure to kind of perform a little bit better. And when you're thinking about that, you're just not going to play fast.
You're going to get yanked if you're not doing.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. You're just going to get pulled out because coach already hates me. Right. And if I mess up on the smallest thing, then I'm going to get pulled out. And so not having to worry about that and just being able to play more free and fast and have that, you know, knowing that you have more trust from your coaches, that's kind of my biggest takeaway.
No, I completely agree with all of that. And maybe it's just that little bit of hesitate. You know, I don't think it was just that. There were other issues as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think that definitely was a factor in the lack of production that we saw at this position last year. And the fact that it seems like everyone's on the same page now, and just what he talked about, the ability to sort of be unleashed and the ability to just go out there and play. I think that's going to be huge for these guys. Something that, you know, again, like maybe you just kind of take for granted, but I think it's ultimately going to be a big thing for them.
It sounds minor, but it's just, right. Guys perform best when they're just out there having fun.
Just more normalcy,
yeah.
I think that is a big thing after, you know, whatever sort of chaos was going on in that room last year, and just different kind of focus on details in those kind of things, which we've talked about as well. So here's more from Jaden Greathouse on the impact of Mike Brown.
I think it's been great for the whole group. You know, obviously it's a struggle when you get a new coach towards the end of the season, during the season, bowl prep, all those kinds of things. It can definitely be an adjustment for sure, but I think we welcomed him just as much as he welcomed us, and we've just been trying to take his guidance as much as we can and really just learn as much as we can from him. And that's definitely why I think the group has just steadily improved day in and day out. Since the last year, the group has made tremendous strides, everybody in the whole room. So it's definitely been a fun thing to watch. It's been really cool just to see everybody progress, and, you know, we're still not done.
All right, Jess. So there's Jaden Greathouse. Everybody in the room has made big strides. Scale of 1 to 10. How confident are you that Notre Dame's receivers are actually going to be noticeably improved this season?
You know, I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10 because it's not only Mike Brown, but it's the combination of Mike Brown in the Mike Denbrock offense. I think that you're going to see, you know, more creativity out of the offensive coordinator, you know, scheming guys open a bit better. And I think you're ultimately going to see more fundamentals being taught by the wide receiver coach himself. And so when you add those two things together, I think you're visibly going to see wide receivers out there just playing, you know, doing what they do best, getting the ball in open space and really just kind of dominating. So it's just really good to hear. And then for, you know, Jaden Greathouse to say that, you know, we are strides better. I just imagine that has to be so refreshing when you have a coach that is eager to come in and teach you and make you better. And then coming off of what this group went through last year, they obviously are very eager to have a new, you know, a new voice essentially that they're listening to. And I think, you know, to me, the thing that stuck out the most in that one was Jaden Greathouse sounded like someone who was very eager for the opportunity to kind of absorb information from someone else, to be able to actually better his game, right? And so I think that's across the board. That's not just Jaden Greathouse. Just I think everyone is eager to learn more and just be better overall.
I'll be curious to see kind of the careers of the guys who left and how they end up at their new spots and kind of how that all pans out for them. Because as we've seen before, guys who we thought were really going to be something have not necessarily gone on and done anything else, you know, after they have left here. To answer this question, I think I'm in an 8 as well. And I kind of went back and forth because there's just a little bit of hesitancy and maybe I'm buying in too much. I mean, you're pretty convinced. Other people are even more convinced than me, but just watching these, like you watch Micah Gilbert, you know, who's another, you know, freshman who's come in and been really impressive so far with some of the stuff that he's been able to do. Like Chris Mitchell has been impressive. Jaden Greathouse, again, you know, like with the, he just looking more healthy. And I was looking at some photos like from last year's training camp and just kind of, you know, what he looks like this year and just the overall physical development that he's had. And then you see that applied on the field with some of the things that he's doing on the field with his hands, with his feet, you know, the explosiveness and those different things. I think this is going to be just a lot more locked in looking wide receiving group this year. And they're obviously going to have a new quarterback. And as you mentioned, they've got an offensive coordinator who I think, as you referenced there,
he's just going to unlock more.
Yeah. He's going to be able to take advantage of a lot of different things. I don't think that Notre Dame's offense has taken advantage of space nearly the way they've needed to the last few years with athletes. Like now, granted, they haven't necessarily had, you know, this complete level of athlete across the board, but I think they're going to be able to take advantage between the combination of the bodies that they have and the guy who's pulling the strings. Now, I think they're going to be able to do a lot more.
This is why we should be so like, this is the most exciting year for Notre Dame football in a while, just because, you know, it starts with Marcus Freeman, the way he's been able to change and establish a different culture, now bringing in sort of the pieces of the puzzle that he wants. And then the pieces of the puzzles are coaches, but to me, more importantly, players, the type of recruits that like we are starting to see Marcus Freeman recruits on the field. You know, these true freshmen, sophomores, like these are the guys that we're seeing that can compete, I think, athletically, you know, with the Clemsons, the Georgias, etc. And that goes back to what you're saying, being able to get your athletes in space and have the athleticism to compete with the Alabamas, the Georgias, you know, Clemson's, Ohio State's, whoever it might be, that this is the smallest I think I've seen that gap. And then when you add someone like Denbrock, he's the guy that ultimately is to me the final piece of the puzzle. Well, he's the guy that gets these players open. He is going to scheme them open.
That's the direction I thought they were going to go after the Alabama playoff loss.
Yeah, because you could just tell they were outmatched in terms of speed.
But that's not the direction that BK went. And, you know, obviously you had Tommy Reese connected to that in his year as offensive coordinator under Marcus Freeman. And then you had Jared Parker connected to that because he was under Tommy Rees, and they didn't come in and just completely overhaul the offense. Still put up a lot of points, as we know, but they didn't necessarily do that either. Now I think you've got a completely, you've got a complete reset with Mike Denbrock coming in and giving them this kind of offense. So I think they're
like, but with
they,
all those points, did you ever feel like Notre Dame
in a conference that he's in, they're used to that, you know? Sorry, go ahead.
With all those points that everyone loves to throw that stat around, oh, this team has scored the most points ever. Did you ever feel like Notre Dame's offense was truly dominant or that you could rely on them in the big game?
Unfortunately, no. I mean,
so what's it matter with all these points if you don't have an offense that can go toe-to-toe when it matters the most?
Right. So you're saying their offense is like Dak Prescott, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that's the comparison a lot of people make, is just absorbing some of that junk time. You know what I mean? Those junk stats, essentially. Yeah.
Just for DK. I did that just for DK, by the way, because I saw a comment of his lingering there in the chat. Paul says, so now it's CSPTSD. Coach Chancey or Chancey Stuckey PTSD, basically. I mean, if the PTSD fits, you must acquit, I guess. Craig says his confidence.
That's where I'm at, too. You can never be a 10 without someone showing you something.
That's right. That's right. Got to see it. Got to see at least a little. And that's why I'm at 8. It might even be a little like 7.5 might be more true. 8 seems a little high to me. Yeah.
Give me the touchdowns.
Yep. So Bobby was saying earlier, he says, I'm just going to ask the chat, do you believe in Riley Leonard? And if this offense with better wide receivers this year and running back room, we have with two healthy tight ends, will this offense be, I think he's saying top 5, 10. So do you think this offense will be top 5 or 10 in the nation?
Jess? No, I don't think they're going to be top 5, 10 in the nation, but I don't think they have to be that high in the nation. I think with the combination that they have defensively, or what we anticipate, you know, what they're going to be defensively, you know, given what we saw last year and then sort of building off of that for this season, they don't need to be like the most elite offense in the country, nor do I think they're going to be. I just think they need to be able to, like I said, when the defense does its job in big games, like for example, I think the best thing I can think of is that at the end of Clemson on the road, defense is making stop after stop. And it just felt like, you know, Notre Dame just kept going three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. They just need to be able to score in those type of situations. You know, that's really ultimately I'm looking for, is being able, you know, to reward the defense for their efforts and be able to, you know, again, I don't think they're going to be this offense that, you know, just puts up massive numbers and blows people out. They're going to score, but they just need to be able to score when it matters the most. And I think that's what, you know, that's kind of the thing. Obviously, because what I just said, that they've been missing is just scoring when they need it the most.
That's when it's – yeah, exactly. Can they score in those situations like they were in against, you know, Ohio State, Louisville, and Clemson last year? Because the offense looked completely different.
The only time they did it was against Duke, and it took a fourth and long quarterback scramble. Yeah. Job got done, but that needed to be done in all the other games too. That's a national championship offense, an offense that responds – or gets it done in the crucial moments. That's what's going to win you the crucial games.
Yeah, Brent was asking how good of a coach Mike Brown is. You know, look, he had a pretty good history at Cincinnati. He was obviously on a staff that went to a college football playoff. You know, he went to Wisconsin before he ended up here. So, you know, with Luke Fickell. So Marcus Freeman has trust in him, and I think that I trust that based on the decisions that we've seen Marcus Freeman make so far. I think, you know, because one of the things is it's not just development, but it's also recruiting. We heard that from the beginning, right? And so I think it is a big part of the deal when you're a college coach. It's not just what you can do on the field, you know, like people knocking Chris O'Leary, good guy, good developer on the field, was getting better as a recruiter, probably had to be pushed a little bit, you know, to work some things as a recruiter and helped out a little bit, but that was still, you know, sort of the, you know, the downside to Chris O'Leary. And I think that recruiting is going to be part of the deal. And this roster is going to look drastically, continue to look drastically different here in a couple of years. I think, you know, because Stuckey was a good recruiter as well, but as we saw, that kind of, you know, things blew up for other reasons other than just being a good recruiter. There has to be the total package. And I think based on what Marcus Freeman saw was going on here and based on the work that he did with Mike Brown in Cincinnati, he knew what he was getting, and that's why he's here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when it, Mike, I know Mike Brown is a good coach because he started his coaching career in 2016, and from 2016 to present, he's only been at one stop more than 1 year. You don't bounce around and continue to get promotion of, you know, wide receiver coach, and now you're passing game coordinator and wide receiver coach. Now you're associate head coach and wide receiver coach. You don't continue to bounce around and take, you know, these jobs unless you're in demand. And you're in demand if you're doing something good. And so that's all I need to know, or that's all I need to see, really.
Bobby also wants to know if Kingston Viliamu Asa is going to be, I have to practice saying that name, KVA, is going to play this year. He says he doesn't see a red shirt. We talked a little bit about him yesterday. I think he's going to be this year's Drake Bowen. He's going to be on all the special teams. He's going to get, you know, Bowen will be the primary Mike linebacker, and KVA, when the situations present themselves, you know, will be able to get some actual game reps playing linebacker. There's no reason
to nickel, you know, linebacker.
Yeah.
Could
end up happening for sure, but he's going to be all over the special teams. I think, you know, like I said, I think it'll be this year's Drake Bowen. So he's going to see the field quite a bit. All right, shifting gears a little bit. The Athletic polled nearly 100 women's college basketball players and asked them who the biggest trash talkers they faced are. Here's the vote. Angel Reese from LSU led the vote with 20. Cameron Brink from Stanford, this surprised me a little bit, got 12 votes. She came in second. Caitlin Clark with 8 votes came in third. Now, fill in the blank. It's blank that Hannah Hidalgo tied for fourth place in this poll with Arizona's Jada Williams with 4 votes.
It's great that Hannah Hidalgo got tied for fourth because you know why? There is nothing more that I want than a trash-talking guard that is going to press you and guard you and try to take the ball away from you. You know who also was a real big trash-talker, played great defense? Kobe Bryant. You know what I mean? Like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, name all the great basketball players. They are so intense that they, you know, they Reggie get in Miller. That game mode. Reggie Miller, especially at the guard position, right? Like you, it is almost mano a mano. And so when you're talking about, you know, someone that you want to run your team, and you know, Hannah Hidalgo being the defensive player that she was, leading the nation in steals, leading the nation in defensive, you know, win shares, stuff like that. Like I expect that sort of stuff. I think that's great because I think that's what it takes to be a great defensive player. You have to be in such a mindset that I am going to lock you down and I'm also going to stomp you while you're down. You know what I mean? It's that killer instinct.
And I've got to be honest, when I, you know, I saw this story and I open up the Athletic app and I'm scrolling and I see this story, you know, about the biggest trash talkers in women's college basketball. And when I went to the story, I was going to be really disappointed if I didn't see Hannah Hidalgo's name.
That's what I mean. You know? If you're a pesky defensive person, you talk a lot of crap.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, that's her personality. And she, you know, just like Caitlin Clark, she feeds off that kind of stuff, you know? And again, I was a little surprised to see Cameron Brink because you just, you know, look at her, you know, like, and that's not sort of, I think, what you would expect, you know, from the big, you know, Stanford.
Yeah.
Cameron Brink.
Oh, but, I know who Cameron Brink is.
Yeah. But, you know, but so I think it's awesome that Hannah Hidalgo's on there. Also interesting that Louisville's entire roster got 3 votes. They said they all talk. That. Everybody at Louisville talks, apparently.
And you know,
like,
that.
They said they talk. Oh, I mean, it's like
when Van Lith was there, it was even horrible.
I think it was even worse last year when Van Lith was still there.
I think their coach contributes.
Oh, he does. I mean, look at his personality.
That's what I mean.
And you know that he contributes to it. Like that whole, I can't even imagine being in that locker room.
Yeah.
It's just like, does anybody ever shut up is what it feels like, you know?
The other thing I took away from this is, I really like this. I didn't want to get into the Angel Reese stuff, but you can't cry wolf when people say you're the biggest trash talker.
Right.
That's my overall kind of comment on that as well.
Yeah.
Then that's all I'm going to say about that one.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go from the wolf to the sheep, basically.
That's what I mean.
You can't be that bold when things are going well.
You can't
play the victim card as soon as one thing goes wrong.
You can't be the big bad dog barking all season. And then when you finally lose, be, oh, you know, poor me.
Exactly. Exactly. TD4ND wants to know if Kim Mulkey made honorable mention. I mean, let's be honest. Kim Mulkey and Jeff Walls, LSU and Louisville, would have to be the top two coaches, you know, who would show up on the list, I think. But
it's got to be Vince, right?
Yeah. She was voted. Vince is definitely the biggest trash talker on the IB staff. I mean, that guy, any chance he gets, man, he is throwing it out there.
VD21.
Can't wait. Mulkey was voted the coach that players would least like to play for.
on the same day Van Lith transferred after season.
And that's interesting. You know, Haley Van Lith is back in the portal after going to Louisville or leaving Louisville to go to LSU. She's back in the portal. Her scoring went from 19.7 a game to 11.6. Her assist stayed about the same. She just didn't look – I think I said it the other day. She got worse, and LSU got worse with her addition.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have thought that would happen as good as she was. But I just think that there was, you know, she basically became the third fiddle down there at LSU, and I just don't think it was the right fit. So it'll be interesting to see where Haley Van Lith ends up. Now, I wonder, like, could she end up at Kentucky, the Virginia Tech, former Virginia Tech coach? I don't know if you saw this, but we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Kenny Brooks, the Virginia Tech coach, is at Kentucky now. And Megan Duffy, who was at Marquette, is now at Virginia Tech. So that's going to kind of
change now some Notre Dame gets to play her twice
ACC dynamic. Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be really interesting. Okay. Here's a NFL question for you, Jess. If Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs head coach, is the best current NFL head coach, who is number two? And we're talking current coaches. Mm-hmm. Only
my pool of three off the top of my head would be Sean McVay, Mike McDaniels, and Mike Tomlin. I think that's the three that I would, you know, dwindle it down to. And then from there, see, this one's hard because they're all like the guys I just named. They're all different. Good. They're all good for different reasons. Like Mike Tomlin, incredibly consistent. I think he does a lot with not a lot. You know what I mean? I think he gets the most out of his teams.
Yeah.
I think Sean McVay is the mind I respect the most. And then, you know, his overall ability to scheme offensively, I respect. And then Mike McDaniels, I really like, again, his offensive scheme. But I like the way that he connects with his players and the way that his players, you know, would like to play for him. But he just doesn't have any proven success. McVay has a Super Bowl. Mike Tomlin has a Super Bowl. And so that's, you know, I have to get rid of McDaniels because he's just too young right now. And so for me, it's either Tomlin or McVay. And I think I'd have to go I'd lean McVay because I don't think Tomlin is as current when it comes to kind of offensive, you know, scheming, game planning, all the above.
Right. I mean, the thing that Tomlin obviously has is the track record. He's got,
right.
You know, and he is actually tied for 11th all time with 173 wins. Reed is fourth all time right now with 258 wins. Interesting, Mike McCarthy, 17th all time, 167 wins. And of course, he's got a Super Bowl, which is crazy. But you've got John Harbaugh, Sean Payton, McVay, Tomlin, and Doug Peterson are the only, you know, those are all the active coaches that have a Super Bowl win. To their credit, I went back and forth on McVay and Tomlin. And Tomlin.
So we had the same. We literally got down to the same. That's insane.
Yes. Because Tomlin has, you know, the record like 17 consecutive non-losing seasons. And he did just get to the freaking playoffs with Kenny Pickett.
That's what I mean. The man just finds a way. They don't have losing seasons.
Right. And like McVay. they would be a lot better. Like they were better at the end of this past season. They would be better in these past couple years post Super Bowl, but they essentially cashed in all their chips to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
out there.
They knew that.
They traded away all those first round draft picks. And so their roster is just not what it should be in terms of being able.
But wouldn't you make that same decision?
Oh, I absolutely would. And so that's why it's kind of hard to evaluate McVay, because he's been doing it for such a shorter amount of time than a guy like Tomlin. So I think I would nudge Tomlin. I would put Tomlin at number two and McVay at number three, just because he doesn't have the track record yet.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Scale of 1 to 10, what's your interest in the Indiana State Seton Hall NIT championship game tonight?
To be honest, 0 out of 10. I didn't even know the NIT championship was tonight. I got I told you I have plans after this to go see a buddy for his birthday. I'm sure we're going to a sports bar, so I'm sure it's going to be on. I'm just interested because I wanted Indiana State to make it. And so when you win the NIT, you basically give the middle finger to the NCAA committee and say, hey, we should have been in this thing. You know, like we were one of the better teams. And so I'm rooting for Indiana State and the big man with the goggles that is also on their team. I enjoy watching him play.
Yes. Robbie Avila is the guy you're talking about. I will just say this. A couple of nights ago, NIT semifinals, I made a couple modest wagers. I put together
on the overs, right?
Modest part. I actually did two. I forgot that I did two. I had Seton Hall and Indiana State. I parlayed them together, money lines. They both won. Then I did the overs for those games, you know, for both of those games as well. And that won. So I'm on a four Uh-oh. Parlay streak right now, or a four wager streak that I've got going that I've actually won. So my interest in tonight's NIT championship game is solely from a wagering standpoint.
Isn't that what's so great about wagering?
I know. And that's what makes, you know, like the NIT, you know, it's like, oh, NIT, whatever. But I've got, so I did like some point, you know, like, will they get to, you know, 15, 20 points, a couple guys for Seton Hall and Avila for Indiana State. And I've got the over on tonight's game as well. It was only like 158 or something. Yeah. Like that. And they've both been averaging like well over 80 points a game.
You lucky duck. I don't know if I told you this, but they took away college props from Ohio. So I can only bet on over-unders and money
line. Louisiana, I think, is sounding like they're going to be the next in line to do it.
You know what that means? Next Notre Dame college football season, you're just going to have to be my bookie.
You might be right about that. TD4ND. No Matty Westbelt news. Still waiting for an announcement. Haven't heard anything. The draft is April 15th, and the deadline to apply for the draft was Monday. So She knows what she's going to do. It's just a matter of when she's going to announce it. DK says he'd rather watch beat Bobby Flay than the NIT championship.
Tough.
Well, he won't be that interested in this next question because the Final Four, they've been playing it at Hinkle Fieldhouse. I didn't even realize Final Four for the NIT was at Hinkle Fieldhouse this year, including tonight's championship down in Indianapolis. It was in Nevada last year. Of course, the NIT Final Four had been at Madison Square Garden for a long time. Should they move it back to New York permanently, or should they just keep rotating it like they do with, you know, the regular March Madness NCAA Final Four?
Yeah, I like the idea of rotating it, especially if you're the NIT, because I think you have to find a way to hit different markets and grow, different ways of attention, eyeballs, etc. And so I think the more you can move it around, it's more of like, oh, I'm in Phoenix and I don't have anything to do on this random night. Let's go out and watch, you know, an NIT game. I think the more you can move it to cities like that, I think you're going to get a great crowd. But when you consistently put it in the same spot, everyone's like, it's just the NIT again, right? Like when you introduce it to new areas, those people are excited because even if it's the NIT, they've never seen it before. And again, it's something to go do and have a good time, probably, you know, at a reasonable price as compared to probably a professional sports game, the NCAA tournament. You know what I mean? I think it's just a better fan experience in terms of not just, you know, draining your wallet.
I say move it around and maybe even just move it to some places that traditionally haven't gotten Final Fours or aren't getting Final Four. Like Kansas City would be a good place, for example. They've got a nice arena there in Kansas City that's not big enough. You know, they don't have a domed stadium, obviously. So, like, the NIT championship would be good there. Maybe put it out in Denver, you know, Salt Lake City. Some different places like that, moving around. Like you said, you know, like people like TD was saying, who cares? I mean, theoretically, yeah, but I think you brought up the best point is if you actually want exposure for the NIT, moving it around and giving some of these different places the chance to get it and see some of these teams that they don't typically get to see. And it's a, you know, it's a Final Four situation still. I think that's the best way to do it. All right, we got time for one more. Fill in the blank. It's blank that Sutter Health Park in West Sacramento, California, is going to host the Oakland A's for three seasons beginning next year before the team moves to Las Vegas in 2028.
It's incredibly sad, in my opinion, because I saw something today. Originally, you know, I was like, who cares? The A's will do better in Vegas, right? Like the numbers will go up. Anything's going to thrive in Vegas. It's Vegas. They've done football. They've done hockey now. You know what I mean? It's going to work. But the part that really got me is imagine me as a Cubs fan and a team gets ripped out of my city. And now me as a fan, I'm left there with nothing. And it's not like the A's, you know, everyone wants to laugh about the A's probably the last, you know, 10, 20 years. But the A's were good back in the day, right? They have a lot of history behind them. And so when I saw the guy today post on X, hey, I'm giving up my fandom. He basically was like, I've been an A's fan for 40 years. I've never switched. The Giants have been around the corner. The Dodgers around the corner. He said, I'm officially done with them. And he took a picture of himself in a Shohei Ohtani jersey. Like, that would be heartbreaking to me. Like, I couldn't imagine losing my team like the Cubs to another city. And now we're going to go to a dingy, you know, park that holds like 4,000 people. That's what you think of this major league team. And ultimately too, it's just a bad look on the MLB. If you're the rest of the, you know,
it's a bad look on Rob Manfred.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just like,
it's horrible.
It's every team. It's not just the teams that everyone loves, like the Yankees or the Cubs or the Reds. It's every team. Your whole MLB organization doesn't look good when something like this happens and you can't step up to help the A's, because obviously it's a bad situation. But no one's doing anything to fix it. And so now we're going to watch a professional sports team play in a stadium that holds 4,000 people.
And I've heard people say, well, it's, you know, people weren't showing up to see. Like, they were in the playoffs for a long time. And it's not that people didn't show up to see it. It's the stadium was completely outdated. It's the same reason the Raiders moved to Las Vegas. They needed a new stadium. You make money off the stadium and selling the suites. And they needed a smaller stadium for a better environment to give the fans actually something to go to. But the city of Oakland itself was never interested and helping out. And the fact now that Oakland has lost, you know, even though the Golden State Warriors have just gone across the bay to San Francisco, they still moved out of Oakland. Like all those, all three of those teams, the Warriors, the Raiders, and the A's were all essentially in the same complex next to each other. And now it's all going to be gone. And the fact that these those other two teams had already left and Major League Baseball had a chance to really capitalize on that and keep that market. And, you know, like, again, it's a huge stain on Rob Manfred that he let this happen. And, you know, there was some negotiating and the city got greedy with what they wanted because there was like an out fee of like $97 million or something like that, that they were going to make the A's pay. Compared to, you know, like right now, the exit fee was something like $1.7 million or something like that. They've needed a stadium for a long time. The city of Oakland has never been willing to step up and help them. And that's, you know, that's why Major League Baseball needed to get involved much more than they did. And yeah, so now they're going to play in a AAA park in Sacramento. I don't know if they're going to call them the Sacramento A's or what they're exactly going to call them. But it's like this is a... it's an organization that's won championships. And despite the fact that they did play with payroll, you know, obstacles, they were in the playoffs a lot under Billy Bean, you know, so
they just don't care anymore. No, it's sad.
No, it's very sad, but it's a vagabond organization from Philadelphia to Kansas City to Oakland. And now apparently Sacramento and Las Vegas. And the Las Vegas thing isn't even a done deal. Like, that could still fall through because they're still trying to get that stadium thing figured out. Yeah, Ed says Oakland is a terrible city, falling apart. You know, I can't completely disagree with that. My sister used to live out there in that area. But, you know, look what other cities are doing with stadiums. And, you know, like, look what South Bend is even done with a minor league ballpark and what they've done to redevelop that whole area. And like baseball, minor league baseball has really played a big part in helping revitalize the downtown area here in South Bend. So I think Oakland could have done something like that if they had been willing, but they're just not willing to. Yeah. Decaf says Four Winds Field, 100 times better in South Bend than they are single A Cubs. All right, well, again, Jesse's got to get rolling, so we will wrap things up with that. We will be back with the three-man rapid-fire show. You'll be here tomorrow, right?
Potentially. There's a lot going on tomorrow.
Okay.
There's a lot. We have people coming into town.
All right.
I got to take someone to the airport at some point.
Oh, I just... here we go. Here we go. Excuses are coming. Excuses are coming. All right, hit the like button on your way out. We do appreciate you. Of course, subscribe, rate, and review, and listen. Scotchy Scotch, are you a Scotch guy, Jesse?
No, not as much. I just stick.
Not a Scotch, just whiskey? All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow, the Rapid Fire Show at 5 o'clock. At least two of us will be here, Ivy Nation Sports Talk.